This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and today we have a very special guest, Alyssa D. Groden, and her new book, Death by Hitchcock, an Edwina Goodman mystery, is out from Cozy Cat Press. Hello!
Hi, David. How are you?
Hi, just fine. We should tell people you're married to Charles Grodin, the actor.
Yes,
the
true.
Famous actor. Is he still making movies?
He is. Actually, he's out in two movies this year. One is The Humbling with Al Pacino, which is directed by Barry Levinson.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he's also in a movie with Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts called While We're Young, which is directed by Noah Baumbach. And I forget which one is coming out first. But anyway, they're both new, and they're both coming out soon-ish.
Yeah, people don't realize how they make these movies so far in advance. I mean, by the time they hit the theaters, they've already made the movie like a year ago a lot of times.
It's true. It's so true, and people don't know it, and it is kind of an odd inside thing. But yeah, you're right. By the time, you know, this movie comes out, I think Al Pacino will have already been in, like, other new movies that were maybe even shot before, during, or after it. So, yeah, you're right about that.
So how long have you been a writer?
Well, I've been a writer since, I think I started writing when I was a teenager, and, I had my first piece published, I think, when I was in college. So, it's something, I think it started out as, like, it met kind of an emotional need, you know, to make order out of chaos, you know, how turbulent adolescence can be, we all know that. So, yeah, I kind of started writing then as an outlet in a way, but then I realized how much I enjoyed the craft of it, just making sentences and thinking of the, you know, the exact right word to convey, you know, a very specific idea or feeling. So, yeah, I've been writing a long time, and I wrote, I published a bunch of children's books, which just was kind of serendipitous, but adult mysteries is what I had always really kind of been shooting for, and it just took me, you know, till I was like in my 50s, I don't know why exactly, to get around to it. So the children's books came along, and then finally I'm getting around to mysteries. So this one, Death by Hitchcock, is my second adult mystery, and I'm working on the third now.
Physics Can Be Fatal was the first one.
Yes, Physics Can Be Fatal was the first one, and my character, Edwina Goodman, whom you mentioned, is a theoretical physicist, and she teaches physics at a college that's based very heavily on Dartmouth.
So one must ask you what your favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie is.
Boy, I know. You'd think I would have an answer prepared for that by now, but I sort of don't. It's so hard to pick. I mean, I love Rear Window.
Me too.
I can just see that.
But Psycho is so brilliant. I mean, it doesn't get much more brilliant than Psycho. I mean,
it doesn't. I so agree with you. I mean, I can watch any of them. You know, Rope. I love Dial M for Murder. I don't think there's one I don't like. For some reason, I don't really know, my least favorite is Vertigo. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? Because I don't really know why.
I don't understand that movie. I never have never quite understood that movie. It's a strange movie. Although everybody's watching Kim Novak anyway. So.
Exactly.
Who cares about anything else in the movie? Not that there's anything wrong with James Stewart. James Stewart's wonderful, but
no, it is. It's a very kind of convoluted plot, and it's weirdly gothic. I don't know. So there's my least favorite. Terrible answer.
It's fascinating. It always fascinated my mother, and I always just say, why do you watch this movie over and over again? What is it about a movie that makes us watch it so many times? You know, why do I like Field of Dreams? Every time I watch Field of Dreams, I choke up at the end. You know, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? I think movie's just, you know, it's like music. It's the same thing is true of art in general. It just allows us to sort of feel, to have these kind of sort of lofty and all sorts of different kinds of feelings that we might not be able to have. And I don't know, it's kind of cathartic and it's kind of wonderful. You know, I think we all have movies we can watch over and over. I love Field of Dreams, too.
So where can people get this book, Death by Hitchcock? I assume Amazon or bookstores?
Amazon's probably the best place. Yeah, Amazon. I think Amazon probably has all my books. Yeah, they do.
I don't even know what the price is, because my copy here doesn't have a price on it. I have no idea why.
I don't either. I think the price is $14.95.
$14.95. Well, that's cheap compared to what they're... I mean, they're almost $30 now for a hardcover, so...
Yeah.
This is half the price. And very entertaining, I might add.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I hope it is, and that's what I was after, because I... You know, I was a super serious, you know, student of literature and film and in college, you know, which so many people are. And I've kind of made a long journey. I've kind of made this arc of, like, sort of going from serious-minded literature to... I just like a good story now.
Right.
I just like a good story. That's why I think... you know, Agatha Christie's probably still my favorite writer. So, I just tried to make, you know, to tell a sort of good story that made you want to turn the page. That was my goal.
Right. Now, is Charles a big reader, too?
He is a big reader, but he doesn't read fiction. He's a big nonfiction reader, so he loves history, you know, biographies.
Well, I hope you got him to read your books.
He actually did. He made a special... He made a sort of special, you know, dispensation and read my book. Yeah, he's very nice that way.
So it must be cool to be married to a famous actor and be a writer doing what you want to do, you know, and that must be really cool to be able to do that.
Well, I just feel lucky, you know. I just feel lucky. You know, most of all, you wish for happiness, right? And so these other things are kind of like... you know, icing on the cake or something. But yeah, we've been married 31 or 32 years, I think.
Wow.
And he's he's a good man. And then beyond that, he's hilarious and he's fun. You know, it actually is really fun, because he's got
that really dry sense of humor too.
He does, and he just can't help himself. So he's just funny. He's naturally funny. And you know, we have a son, and he has the exact same thing. And so there's a lot of laughing around here.
So,
so I think that's lucky.
How long did it take you to write Death by Hitchcock? Is it a pretty quick, I mean, it's a quick read. I mean, you really can move through it really quickly, which is nice. It's a book.
Oh, that is nice. That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
I think it probably took me a year. It probably takes me a year to write these things. You know, on kind of like under a year to little bit under a year to write it, but then when you've done all your rewrites and all that stuff, it takes me about a year. I'm not fast, and I'm not very I'm not especially prolific, but you know, I go at my own pace.
So did Alma Hitchcock really have a Vichyssoise recipe?
She did. There's a fabulous book, it's so dear, written by their daughter, Pat Hitchcock. And it's...
I tried to get an interview with her. I haven't not been successful yet. I don't know.
Doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I know she was in Psycho. She was in one of the opening scenes of Psycho, so...
And she's in a few... she is. She's in the office there, and...
I mean, wouldn't you just love to have lunch with her and say, tell me what your dad was really like?
Well, absolutely. She was great in Strangers on a Train, too. She was great in that.
I didn't know she was in that. Wow.
Yeah. But read her book. I expect she's incredibly private. There's no question about that. But in her book, she talks about her folks, and she talks about their lives together. And she includes a bunch of her mother's recipes and menus for when her mother entertained. You know, they had this very kind of groovy, bucolic English life where they sort of had, you know, lunch in the garden with, for, you know, famous people would come, and but it was all very homey and wonderful and homemade. But yeah, she includes a bunch of her mom's recipes and menus in the book, so it's really cool. It's really fun to read.
I don't know if you're watching the new season of American Horror Story, but they're mentioning Alfred Hitchcock in that too, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, you know, I'm not up with that. Of course, I'm aware of it, but I've not watched it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's very, very unusual, and it's not for the
faint-hearted.
Yes, and it's very.
So it's really truly dark.
Yeah, it's dark, and then he gets darker with every episode. It seems like, you know, it's just he's a very dark producer, director. I guess he does it all.
But, wow.
He's an amazing. What you can get away with on TV today is it just blows your mind.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if that's good or bad, but
in some ways it is, and in some ways it, you know, people becoming desensitized to violence kind of disturbs me a little bit.
It disturbs me too. It should disturb everybody.
I mean, I don't know why are we so fascinated with violence and gore and
well, I
cruelty.
I'm right with you. I have a little theory about that, which is that I think there's a general, you know, desensitizing sort of in the culture, and the more people get desensitized, like video games and, you know, TV content, movie content and all this stuff, the more desensitized people get, the higher you have to raise the bar to make people feel anything. So it's just all getting darker and bigger and, you know, more awful. I'm an old-fashioned girl, you know.
I can't watch that show on FX. I can't think of the name, with the motorcycle show.
Sons of Anarchy. No.
I just the cruelty that show shows toward other people, it just blows my mind. I can't watch it. I just can't watch it.
I agree with you completely. I'm right with you. You don't want to promote censorship, because that's not right either. But I do agree with you. It's not my cup of tea, that's for sure.
Well, one of the scenes in this book that I'll go away with is the scene in the bathroom where they find the body. I'm still trying to picture it in my head. Wow, it's very vivid in my mind. You know, I can see her, you know, and I won't describe it. I don't want to give too much away. But and I don't even know if that's a clue. Maybe that's a clue to the identity of the murderer. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm glad it's stuck in your mind, but I hope not in a bad way that, like, keeps you from falling asleep at night.
It's one of those scenes you just picture in your mind. You can't get it out of your mind once you picture it. It's like the shower scene in Psycho. You never get that out of your head until, you know, even years later, you still think about it.
What a great compliment. That's my favorite compliment I've ever had about my writing, that it reminded you of a scene in Hitchcock. There you go. Thank you for that.
But the thing with Hitchcock is he kills Janet Leigh off in the beginning of that movie. I mean, how dare he do that? That's never been done before. I mean, to kill a main actress off of the movie in 20 minutes into the movie?
That was part of his genius, that he would even think of such a thing. And I know at the time, I think it came out in 1960.
Yes.
At the time, part of the, because he was really brilliant about promotion, about PR. He was really, really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the, you know, PR of Psycho was he really talked a lot about that. Like, don't dare, you know, they wouldn't let people come into the theaters late. Mm. And they made a big, without giving away what was going to happen, they made a huge sort of thing, and it really piqued people's interest about, if you come late, you won't be admitted because, you know, dot, dot, dot. But yeah, that was just completely brilliant. He and Agatha Christie, I think, have that strongly in common, where they were truly original. They came up with, like, original stuff. That's hard to do.
Nothing against Matthew McConaughey, but how does he have an Oscar and Alfred Hitchcock doesn't? I mean, it just blows your mind to think that. You know, and I like Matthew McConaughey, but only in certain things. I don't know. People are going to yell at me for that one, but
you said it, not me, but I don't have an answer for you. I guess everything's relative. I'll just say that.
I mean, I could watch him in A Time to Kill I thought he was brilliant in that. But, you know, it's like, there's certain movies that I think actors and actresses it's their movie. I mean, Kathy Bates in Misery, you know, nobody would do that better than she did.
Yes.
And, you know, and then they do other movies and it's like, oh, okay, that was their movie. You know, you just realize that the one movie was what they did, was the brilliance that they had.
It's so true, and that in turn makes you realize how much of people's success and stuff. A lot of it's luck, if you get the right part at the right time. That luck is a big component, because there's a lot of sort of incredibly talented people, mm-hmm. right? But then if you don't sort of get that role, you don't remain indelible in people's minds sometimes. But yeah, you're right.
Now, did the first mystery have a movie theme to it too?
No, the first mystery...
Or was it more into physics?
It's the first one. I had the first one take place in the physics department, just to kind of establish Edwina and her, her world and stuff. So the background of that, I don't really get into physics in these books. I hope people aren't put off by thinking, oh no, I can't read these because I don't know anything about physics. It's not, I don't. As
do
you
people
know.
Really do that? I guess they do. It's like they...
I think a little bit, especially with the first one, which was titled "Physics Can Be Fatal," which might have been a strategic mistake. I don't know, but anyway.
They didn't send me the first one. I don't know why. So I don't. Maybe they didn't have a copy.
I'd be happy to send it to you.
I'll have to get you to give me a signed copy.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, there you go.
Listen to me, I'm groveling during the interview. Nobody ever does that.
Not at all.
Not even Barbara Walters.
You're far from groveling, my friend. So the first one, has the more of a, the physics department background, and then this one is the film studies background, which was so much fun because of my dad, because of my dad's connection to the movies, my husband.
Wait a minute, your dad's connection?
My dad was the founder of AMC Theaters.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And I actually put him in the book as an offstage character in one tiny little section.
Is he still with us?
No, he's not. Oh. He died in 1999.
Oh.
But he was a really interesting guy. And he, we grew up with movies because every weekend we were like piled into the car and...
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was
what a
really,
cool life you have.
It was fun. Oh, thanks.
how often do I get to say that to an author?
Thanks. Oh, that's great.
I mean, I always think of an author as so difficult. I mean, you think about the writing process, and you read a book, you don't realize what goes into writing a book. It's not just simply you sit down, the words just come out of you. Although I've heard an author recently say that the words kind of come out of the character somehow, and it's kind of like magic almost for some writers.
That's true. That's very often true. And to your point, I can tell you that I started out as a journalist because I wanted to be a book reviewer and a film reviewer because I really admired old school criticism where an art critic or a book critic or a movie critic would not so much criticize the piece, but actually help the viewer or the reader understand how to look at the thing and how to get out of it what was in there to get, and all the layers and all the illusion and all this stuff. So I reviewed books for some years, and even having been a book reviewer, when I sat down to write, I had no idea.
Right.
So it's just as you say, it's really hard.
And well, see, my talent... Right, my talent's in talking, not writing. I mean,
but you're very good at it.
Yeah, the thing is with reviews, they're so picky about how the review is. Yeah, you can't give away too much, and my inclination is to tell the whole story, and say, wow, this is really. But you can't give away too much. People get so upset with that.
You have to be careful. You have to be careful. But I think writing's like everything else. The more you do it, the better you get. It's just like every other type of job or work. Just like with you, I'm sure the interviews come easier and you get better and better at it the more you do. That's just the way of it.
And then you get to Patricia Cornwell, who I've interviewed, and you're like, how do I even begin to ask her questions? What if she hates me? It's like,
who would hate you?
But it's like, but writers, and the more successful they get, the more they can get into little, you just don't know how they're going to be.
Well, that's true. Of success in general. The saying, power corrupts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. It's just true of success in general. People think, people get screwy ideas and people have sort of mistaken hierarchical views of life, where they think if you're very successful, that makes you a better person somehow. So people get very confused sometimes with
success. So where is this?
Is
this a photograph, or is it a painting on the cover?
Cover. Yeah, that is a painting. Yeah, I can't tell you. It's a painting, I know that, and I can't tell you much more about it.
It's really interesting with the gazebo. I guess that's a gazebo.
I think it captures the feeling, you know, the feeling of the mystery. We won't give it away, but you know, there's that scene up at the pond when they're shooting, you know, the documentary, and just the whole connection with water and a little rustic building, a gazebo, you know, that kind of fit into the story, I thought.
Now, before you even get beyond this book, did you have an idea about every scene in the book? I mean, does every scene come to you, or does that come as you're writing it?
I'm not one of your sort of hyper-organized writers.
Oh, no, really?
No, not at all. I do not do a sort of insanely detailed outline. No, I have a sense of, you know, certainly what I do first is I get the crime in mind. I just think of who I want to kill and how. And then I work out from that, and then I think of all the other sort of characters that people that person's life, and I have the setting. You know, you have these sort of fundamental decisions like the setting, who your detective is, what's the crime, who's the victim, and then you start in with your clues and you get to your solution. But yeah, I have a good general idea, but no, I definitely think of stuff as I go along. That's kind of the part of the fun of it for me.
Now, are you sort of like Edwina? I mean, did you want to be a physics?
Yeah, she's definitely my alter ego. I mean, she's, I wanted to be an astronomer, but I was so terrible at math. I couldn't even get close. So, yeah, and I love physics. You know, I'm just one of these people who watches all the shows on the Science Channel and Discovery, you know, that have to do with physics. I just am fascinated by it. So I combine those two things, you know, having, you know, being a sort of frustrated scientist myself, and then really enjoying physics. I made her my alter ego, and she's like, she's the same age as my son, I realize. So that's also kind of part of the fun of it for me, to write about somebody who could be my daughter, but who I really identify with.
So one might say, one is curious about how many movie premieres you've been to. I can imagine you've been to an awful lot of them.
Oh, geez. Probably not as many as you think because, you know, I don't really I'm not too into all the hoopla. I'm just kind of a homebody.
You want to be in the background.
I like to be in the background, exactly. And one of my favorite stories, I so admire Agatha Christie as a writer, but also as just the sort of person she was. Mm-hmm. And there's this great story about how they were having the 50th anniversary of her play Mousetrap in London. And, you know, of course she had to go. She was kind of a homebody herself, loved her garden, loved her house, you know, and all that. And anyway, she went to the party and she wasn't let in. She didn't have her invitation or something like that. And she just said, oh, well, that's fine. Just turned around and started home. And then, of course, somebody figured out who she was and wrote, you know, got her back. But she didn't care. So, I'm not too into to any kind of a red carpet scene. In fact...
Well, don't you get excited meeting famous people?
Yeah, I did. I do. Yeah, I certainly did when I was younger. And I still do sometimes. Depends who it is. Yeah, but you know what? You realize that it's not all that. It's not all that. It's just not. It's all good, but it's not all that. There's such more important things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's fun.
It's interesting. I was sure you were going to say you'd been to a whole bunch of them.
I've been to a few. I've been to my fair share, and when we do go and they start photographing my husband on the red carpet, I just dart off to the side. You know, I can't stand any of that.
So I'm curious where you met Charles.
Oh, well, actually, when I was working as a journalist, I interviewed him. for American Film Magazine. And at the end of that interview, he asked me to marry him.
Just like that?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. It's a mystery.
And did you say yes right away?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that something?
Well, you must have been very taken with him just during the interview.
I was. I just, you know what, you know how you feel when you meet somebody who just feels like a soulmate.
Right.
And so that was that.
Could have been Tom Cruise, who knows, you know. And boy, then you'd have the stories to tell, wouldn't you?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger did ask me out once, but I declined.
Really?
I knew he wasn't my type.
That's interesting. You could write a book about that.
Yeah, someday. Someday, then we'll do another interview, right?
Yeah. So, number three, what's number three going to be called? Any idea?
You know, I'm working on number three, but I haven't had a title. I don't have a title yet, because I know what the gist of it is and who gets it and all that stuff. But I'm waiting till I get more into it. I've just started it, and then the title will let me know what it wants to be. You know what I mean? As it kind of reveals itself a little, you know, little by little, I'll know what the title will be. But this one has a background of, you're going to laugh. You're going to think I'm very silly. But it has a background of home shopping. You know, the home shopping channel.
Oh, how cool.
On TV.
No, I think that's cool. I mean,
okay. I'm
no
glad
problem.
To hear you say it. Okay, good, because I wasn't sure if that was just going to be, you know, ridiculous or too silly. But I'm kind of fascinated by that universe.
By the women that sit at home and just order all day?
Yes, and the women who present it, who never, they're just remarkable. They never run out of stuff to say about the most preposterous and unlikely products.
I mean, who hasn't seen stuff on home shopping that they thought, oh, that looks interesting? I mean, everybody's seen something.
It's
I don't care
true.
What it
oh,
is.
Oh, absolutely. Believe me, I've shopped on it. I've bought a bunch of stuff. It's. I'm just so fascinated by this. You know, it's like this subculture of retail. You know, worshipfulness almost, where you know people just keep watching and keep looking for more stuff they can. That they think they need and stuff like that.
Now, so anyway, are you still involved with AMC Theaters?
No, I'm not. The company is no longer, there's no family involved anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think some Chinese corporation bought it or something like that. However, you know, I'm in touch with Jerry Lopez, who's the president of AMC, and
cool.
You know, so we're in touch, but I have nothing to do with it, and I have five siblings, and none of us has anything to do with it, so it's out of our hands now.
Well, I know we have to let you go. You're very delightful. I wish I had more time to talk to you.
That's so nice of you to say. Well, you know something? It shows what a good interviewer you are, because you're super easy to talk to, and I thank you so much for talking to me. You're very, very nice to talk to.
Yeah, that's what people
you
think.
Make it easy.
I say to authors that I want 30 to 45 minutes, and they're like, what? What do you want to ask me? You know, they're so afraid of what I'm going to say. You know, it's like, what, you know what, if you, you know, you, wouldn't you want to promote your book?
Yeah, no, not at all. It's fun to talk, and you make it very easy.
Well, that's because I love people. I mean, if you love people, it's easy to do interviews. I mean,
you love people, and you love books. You know, you really appreciate, you know, books, so that's a great combo.
Right, let's mention your book one more time, Death by Hitchcock, an Edwina Goodman Mystery, and it's out from Cozy Cat Press at Amazon, all your bookstores, and is it on ebook at all?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. There is a Kindle. Yep, there is a Kindle version. So,
oh, very cool. Well, good luck with the series, and I hope we get to talk to you for the next one. When do you expect that'll be out?
Well, let's call it about a year from now. Let's shoot for that.
Okay, great.
And yeah, so keep in touch, and thank you so much for the interview. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. And this has been David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.